Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Straight Talk with Stan Macklin. We're so glad to be able to come your way today. We have another exciting program. Today we're going to be talking about mass incarceration. And so if you have friends or family or relatives that you would like for them to tune in to today's podcast, you're more than welcome. Or if you'd like to have some comments, this is not just a one-way street. It's two-way. We want to hear from you as well because as I so many times say, God gave us two ears and one mouth, which means he expects us to do more listening than talking. But this is a talk show program, and we will do that. But we're going to be talking about mass incarceration, but feel free, give us a call, 347-850-1598, and our technicians will be more than glad to listen to what you have to say. If you want them to say it for you, they can do that too, whatever. But we're here to entertain your call. But we're going to be talking about mass incarceration, and we're going to not be wasting any time. We're going to get right into it. And so right after this here show break, we'll come right back with mass incarceration. What is it? Why is it? All right. Welcome to Straight Talk with Stan Macklin. We're so glad that you tuned in today. Today's program, we're going to be talking about mass incarceration. There's so much we can say about this subject that it would be almost a never-ending show. But we're going to be talking about some of the aspects of it that is just alarming, and we need to be very in tune to what's going on. To the extent that mass incarceration has gotten out of control. America has the world's largest incarceration rate in the world, and it doesn't seem to be curbing any way, form or fashion, but a lot of those in criminologists and those in the criminal justice are calling for reform because things have just gotten out of control. It really has. And it's very, very costly. And we need to look at alternatives. So what is it? Well, this Get Tough on Crime bill that took place back in the 90s and was, the signature was signed off by President Clinton, but the architect of it was Joe Biden. I have to say that, Vice President Biden. But what happened was it went overboard, and for many individuals were being locked up, key thrown away, and it just got so much to the extent lesser drug crimes were being under arrest and everything, and the system now has just gone berserk. It's almost to the extent it's an affront to justice and human dignity, and it needs some major reform. It really does, because you have over a million African American men alone who are in that situation, and so if we don't address it, it continues to spiral into just astronomical effects, and we want to be able to deal with it. And what is it? It's just the locking up of black and brown people, a lot of poor people, homeless. If we look at the situation, what happened in Ferguson, which is in the state of Missouri, is a prime example of how incarceration was being used for profit. And people were being locked up because of high weeds and just minor traffic stops. And their fine was so heavy and so mountain that it was almost like a debtor's prison in terms of being able to move past that. And I think that Ferguson gets an F. That's right, an F for failure. Failure in the 21st century to find alternative ways to seriously reduce or eliminate the need for incarceration. And it just became the Department of Justice did a fact-finding mission and found this as so. And they had to literally just to revamp and clean house from the police chief on down because of this situation here. And I think that there are alternatives to things that can be done, but we have to work together to make a difference concerning this here. Who does it affect? Well, it affects a lot of people. Number one, what has happened, it affects the mentally ill, drug addicted and homeless. It's just an in-and-out vicious cycle. The criminal justice system needs to be reformed. There needs to be some transformative justice concerning this here. And by no means or no fashion should our jails and prisons be a warehouse for the mentally ill. I know that there's some history behind this, because during the Reagan era, when there was a major closing of some of the mental health facilities across the nation, those individuals were released on the streets. And literally, they just turn them loose right out there in the streets. And in terms of people getting care, mental health care, it's just almost out of mind, out of sight. And in terms of the addicted, it's just they're not getting none. And why not? Why not? Because if you have a captive audience, it seems that it's reasonable that men and women should be able to get treatment, and for their addictions or for their issues, but it's not happening. It's just a warehouse, and that's no good. It is not good. As a matter of fact, it is really, literally, downright pathetic. I have the privilege of going into every other Wednesday into the local county regional jail here. And I spend quality time inspiring, encouraging the men that this cycle has to be broken in terms of recidivism. It's not going to be broken until we work together to seriously try to find alternatives to that, and that people can get the necessary treatment that they need. just incarcerating a person and paying thousands of dollars is not necessarily the answer. This is why I said we need some transformative justice. We really do, because it cannot be business as usual. Business as usual is not going to work, and it has happened to the place that all across this country there is now massive incarceration. And when people are released, many times the weight over their head for very minor offenses, it just stacks up to the extent that they repeat this cycle over and over and over. And the fines that has accumulated in spite of that is just amazing. It's amazing. I remember one time I took a young man, well, he was in his 30s, and he was going to court for child support. And when he stood before the judge said to him, and he said, Mr. I'll just use his first name, Mr. Joe. He said, you have a mountain accumulated child support bill. And he said, Your Honor, yes. He said, my kids are grown. He said, that does not, of course, diminish or demise your responsibility. And the judge said, you have an accumulated bill of $37,000. $37,000. Did you hear what I said? $37,000. And Mr. Joe, they said, how are you going to pay for this? Check, cash, whatever, what arrangement? I tell you, he liked to fill out in that court. But this is what I'm saying. Well, it wasn't too much longer that when Joe went home that he died. Yes, he died. Excuse me. The grief from and the stress from the accumulated bill, I think it literally helped to take his life. But that is just a prime example why I think there needs to be some transformative justice, because it's just out of order. You know, Michelle Alexander, her insights are formidable. She talks about how that it's become mass incarceration, the new Jim Crow. And if you, those of you who remember the Jim Crow situation, it was a system of penalty. Punishment. Yes, it was. And she talks about how in her book, The New Jim Crow, The Age of Mass Incarceration, is just amazing what is going on today. And her insights are one that really calls for restorative justice versus the weight of no accountability at taxpayer expense in this here, that there has to be a way of finding some alternatives. There has to be a way of working through this here, because the system right now is basically for profit. And the people who are being penalized are the people who are using to sustain this crazy system of just punishing people and for the crime that really is proportionally too high and out of order. And I'm not saying, by the way, I am not saying that a person who does the crime should not do the time. I agree. If a person does a crime, then they should do the time. But some of the mediocre things, some of the things that are just making mass incarceration as a repetitive thing, like the new Jim Crow, is just out of order. And if you think about this whole system, it's just a weight. It's a weight. And, of course, there should be accountability. No accountability is not good. But the taxpayer's expense per year housing some particular inmates is $25,000 or more in some states. And it's simply just insane. And as a nation, we can't continue to afford this madness anymore. Well, what are you expecting? I'm expecting that we need to seriously find ways to reduce or even eliminate the need for this tremendous inmate population explosion. And we can do it. We can do it if we seriously look at finding alternatives and ways to reduce criminal incarceration. We can do it, but we got to work together. We all have a fair part that we must play to make a difference. This Get Tough on Crime bill, it accomplished its goal. It sure did, but it's to the detriment of a lot of our municipalities today. And it just seems to be like a treadmill. Well, what do you propose? Well, I'm proposing that we find some alternatives, such as adult drug courts. I think that is a solution. We have to work at it. But according to the Virginia Supreme Court, the scientific evidence is overwhelmingly that this adult drug court reduces crime. It reduces substance abuse. It improves family relationships, and it increases earnings potentials. Processed drug courts return net dollar savings back in their communities and are at least 2 to 3 times the initial investments. And according to the National Center for States Courts, in a representative Virginia adult drug treatment courts, there was a particular October 2012 fiscal year, it talked about drug courts in Virginia saved taxpayers $19,234 per person as compared to traditional case proceedings. And the drug courts reduced recidivism rates for the previous competing programs. So, you know, we got to find some new ways. We got to work at it. I think day reporting is also good. I think day reporting can be adapted to a number of different populations. If we're willing to try to look that way or work that way, here in Virginia, they are utilized to other enhanced treatment and supervisions to practitioners or sentenced offenders and on probation. In other words, day reporting helps to keep accountability in check, and it just releases overcrowding. It gives opportunity for an individual be involved in individualized and group counseling, substance abuse education, anger management, domestic violence prevention. Just a lot of things. Can work on GED preparation or reentry services. There's so much that can be done. And then don't even talk about restorative justice, which helps the individual to be held accountable for their actions, what they did, and facing the victim. So there's a lot of ways to do instead of just locking people up and throwing away the key and just more of a punitive fashion. We got to work together to make a difference. This is not the way that we do it. And when you look at this here, it seems to be a hidden agenda that this is primarily geared toward, as I said earlier, people of color, basically black and brown. Talk about the tactics that are used to get people incarcerated, yet alone staying incarcerated. But until we make up our minds that enough is enough, it's business as usual. Until we make up our mind that we got to stand up and rise up and speak out against this affront to justice and human dignity of mankind, it will continue. It will continue. So I'm calling on each of you in your own ways. None of us is immune from a family member or someone who have not been involved in this vicious cycle. But it seems like it's an ongoing situation. It goes on and on and on and on. But we must work to make a difference. We can implement new programs. Yes. It's not about, like a lot of private companies, what they do. For instance, the Correction of America. It's not about that. You know, establishing profit centers at the expense of human lives. That's not the way to do it. But we do need programs. We need programs that can make a difference, long-range planning, strategy to investigate, develop, and implement a system that's not jail-based programs and service for persons with mental health and substance abuse issues. We need programs and service which target the probation violation population to the utilizing of a substantial portion of jail beds. And if they build them, they'll fill them. Yes, that's what it is. It's almost like it's a game. It's almost like it's a merry-go-round. Each part working with the next part, the next component, to fill a space, to fill a particular part of the expansion. But I think that better days are going to come. Things are going to happen to make a difference, and I believe it's happening. I believe that people are rising up to realize that enough is enough. I think that individuals such as Michelle Alexander and others who are calling for change, that are revealing the new systematic ways of making people second-class citizens, making people live in a debtor's prison, making people forever of victims of victimization. We have to know that it's time for change. And until we rise up to the occasion and investigate ways to reduce intake, programs and administrative practices aimed at reducing intake should be evaluated and even implemented. Early and effective pretrial programming should be enhanced with the goal of reducing future intake pressure. And it is pressure. Call on local systems to rise up. There needs to be committees that should include a broad spectrum of representatives from the criminal justice, public health, higher education communities, as well as concerned citizens who realize that there needs to be reform, transformative justice, who's going to rise up to make a difference. And communities like Ferguson, it's time that the red flag clearly conveys that enough is enough. Yes. All communities should at least get an A. That's right. They should get an A because they should be alert to what's going on. If you're not alert to what's going on, that means that you're probably part of the problem because you are taking a blind eye to being alert to the reality that it's time for a change. And if you have an attitude of not working in a preventative way, that's not good. So if you don't want your community to be an A community, that you're at least alert and aware of what's going on, that's not good. All communities should at least get a B. That's right, because they can do better. All communities can do better. Our community, the community I lived in, they were crying about, let's build a new jail. Let's build a new jail. Of course, the old jail somehow is overcrowded. Let's build a new jail at the cost of $63 million. And the citizenry rose up, and they knew that they could do better. And groups like Better Together and groups like Building Better Communities, they rose up to show the way, to make a difference, till they found something better. It may not have been the answer, but at least they found something better, and they worked with an existing jail that had underbeds and brought into that system instead of building a brand new jail as a better way. We can do better, and we can do better if we think better. But until we think better, it will be business as usual, and it should not be like that. It's almost like Peter robbing Paul to pay one another. And all communities can at least get a seat because they should be concerned. They should be concerned about seriously finding ways to eliminate or reduce the need for mass incarceration. If you don't display concern, it never happened. And I'm glad that I can say that I live in a community, that there are individuals, and I personally had the privilege of working with some young individuals, men and women under the age of 30, who rose up to the occasion and said, this is not the way we want our community to be looked at. We want to be a part of a beloved community. Building of a brand new jail is not the way. We should all be concerned about making a difference. And if we don't work toward this, we will continue to be involved in the masses of communities and municipalities where they display the attitude of being unconcerned. Look how unconcerned people were about what was happening in Ferguson. But should it have taken a little civil uprising? That's right. To get the attention of the powers to be? Well, we can do it if we're concerned. And yes, you can at least get a D, because we should be doing something. Because if we don't do something, we'll get an F like Ferguson. So this has been Stan Macklin. I might sound a little frustrated today, but when it comes to mass incarceration, I am frustrated. But I believe that we can make a difference. Remember, it's not the outlook, but it's the uplook that make a difference. This has been Stan Macklin with Straight Talk. Have a good day, and remember to keep on keeping on.